put a fence around him. And he continues to grow beyond every fence and every enclosure. Today we have someone that you can partake of their fruit and possibly be ministered to by the gifts of the Holy Ghost. One that can share the virtues and the victories of a very living Christ Jesus in his heart. We heard his wife sing. And how many believes that that was anointed? And God certainly gave him an equal yoke. She is equally yoked to his anointing as he is hers. So I want to ask Brother Josh if he'd come and share with us the revelation of God. And this is the gift in a person. The accepted of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Bless you, Josh.
God bless you, and thank you for having me here tonight. It's an honor and a privilege, and I just thank God for Pastor Kevin and Sister Judith and the church family here. You know, you guys are my church away from church. Honestly, I spend hours on the phone, and our Pastor Kevin does me week after week, and I've grown more in the past 6 months than it feels like. I have maybe my whole Christian faith because I feel more freedom in Christ. And, you know, as we see Him as He is, we shall be like Him. And, you know, He's not dead, but He's alive and well, amen. And some of us in here tonight, sometimes we feel beaten down and separated from the Lord. But He hasn't, you know, I like what the brother sang. Even when I don't see Him, He's working. And we can have strength even when we don't feel it and know that He's working. We can provide. We can create that. You know, He's our Creator and He lives on the inside of us. And we've got to learn that when things don't feel right, I can change it. I can speak to that mountain. Could you imagine if each one of us spoke to our mountain, the electricity and the charge and the power of the Holy Ghost that would have been in this place? It got strong. But if one can put 1,000 to flight, then two can put 10,000. So my question tonight is, where are you connected? Are you connected to the vine? Is the mind that's in Christ Jesus in you here tonight? That's not my message, but I'm just ministering what I was discerning in the Spirit. You know, sometimes, and as I felt many times in my journey, I was like, God, where art thou? Just like Adam asked. I think last time I was here, I mentioned how the Adam, and asked, you know, where are you? Or God asked Adam, where art thou, Adam? But oftentimes we ask the question, God, where are you at? But the Bible says that He is faith, and He's nigh in our hearts, even in our mouths. We can declare the works of the Lord. Amen. But if you got your Bibles, you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And I really, as I was praying, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share my heart in this area tonight, that I believe I came with a word that God wanted me to share. I'm not really a person of, you know, that tries to be flashy or any of that or add excitement. If I feel excited, that's what you get. If I feel teaching, that's what you get. So I really just try to follow whatever it is that God would have me to do. And I told them, you know, if God anoints me to run the pews, I'll run the pews. Hallelujah. But if He anoints me just to stand here and speak, I just want to deliver my heart and do obey the Lord. Because it's not me that needs to live, but it's Christ in me that's the hope of glory. But Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That word condemnation means adverse sentence, or to pronounce to be guilty, to sentence to punishment, or pass judgment against. In other words, under the law, we was in death. As many times we find ourselves thinking, like some of you here tonight, feeling like God was distant from you, and for what reason, for what is going on in the depths of your soul, what is going on the inside of you that would lie to you, that would tell you you have to live in that bondage of condemnation, or you have to live separated from you and your God. Oftentimes we're like trying to call down God from heaven, but He says, I'm right here with you. When you make your bed in hell, I'm there with you. When you're upon the mountain, I'm there with you. I'm always ever present, every living on that's inside of you. So it's time we stop and we get out of the condemnation of death or the administration of death and begin to walk in the life of Christ, in Christ Jesus. That we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That word walk means to be occupied with. It means to live in, to deport oneself into, or follow, or make a companion of. And so that's what we do, right? A lot of times we're in this world, the Bible says, but we're not of this world. But a lot of times we're in the agreement with the wrong thing, and it's not the covenant of grace. And we need to be in the covenant of liberty in Christ, because that's, you know, where the law of liberty is. I look at it this way. There's a new sheriff in town, and the law of the Spirit is different from the law of sin and death. You know, when the law came, and some of you guys are expert teachers, in my opinion, because I listen to you guys. I mean, for me, you're, you know, but I'm going to express it the best way that I can. But when the law came, the law was up here, and I was down here. And it showed me really everything that I wasn't. I really come up in short in every area. I think there was like 613 laws and commands. And the Bible says that the law was holy and just and good. But I was undone, unclean, unperfect, and walking in struggles, walking with depression, walking with thoughts of suicide. I don't know about you, but as I've become a Christian, I've walked around with these issues, wondering where God is at, where He's going to move, walking with hatred, walking with murderous thoughts, walking with anger, walking with unforgiveness, and walking in and after what was in my flesh. What seemed to be a reality wasn't really the reality. I need to really realize that Christ is the reality. So there is therefore no condemnation, and that's what Paul is trying to teach us to do, to put on the mind of Christ. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So therefore, when I'm fighting those dark situations in my soul and those weaknesses and those infirmities, I no longer have to bow down. I no longer have to look at that. I no longer have to respond to those areas of my life, because I've been given a new nature in Christ Jesus. And so for my flesh, I serve the law of death, but with my mind, the Spirit of life and righteousness. And so I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being bound down. It's time we take charge of every area of our life and walk in the victory that's in Christ Jesus. It's time that we take authority over those places and get down with Jesus and put on the mind of Christ. Take Him to those, as y'all expressed, the dark places of our soul, and ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Hallelujah. But I want to take you to a story of Jonah, chapter 1, because really I find a man who was called of God. I don't even know if I'm going to turn there. I'm going to try to just let the Holy Ghost lead me. Something I'm trying more to grow in confidence to do. And I'm not the smartest person. I am not the smartest person, but with God's grace, I believe that I can, and I am a more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And this is what we've got to believe and we've got to come to. It's what I've got to come to. That He will bring all things to my remembrance by the Holy Ghost. But, and y'all have to forgive me, just some of the things I've been through. Some of the, y'all just don't know. I was thinking today, back in 2005, where
I first gave my life to God, and I don't always share this, but it's really been on my heart today, how I was a drug addict. And that's not my testimony now. My testimony now is what I'm fixing to share of the life that I've learned to walk in the Spirit. But that was the old me. But it's still something thankful to realize the power of God, how that God can take somebody that spent time in a mental institution, that felt like they was losing their mind, that felt like the whole world was against them and couldn't even be accepted by their family, because if I was convinced I was crazy, then everybody else must think I'm crazy too. What a strong epitome of hell for a person to have to be into because of sin, because I was living under that old law or that old condemnation of never feeling like I was good enough, never feeling like I could do it on my own. And guess what? I learned that I can't do it on my own. But I found hope, as he mentioned, hope against hope, who changed me from glory to glory. And now I have a sound mind and peace in Christ Jesus. And that is my new year, you know, a redeemed soul, as Pastor Kevin preaches. But so Jonah, here he was called to go preach the gospel to Nineveh. And, you know, the Bible says that Jonah fled or left the presence of the Lord. And, you know, that kind of stood out to me. Jonah left the presence of the Lord. How often do we leave the presence of the Lord? How often do we leave the awesome covenant that God has gave to us or has dealt with us, a measure of grace? But oftentimes we find ourselves in condemnation or find ourselves coming short in weaknesses of the flesh, in infirmities of the flesh, in despairs, in lying vanities, as Job later on expresses in his prayer to God, how that he forsaken mercy and followed after his own weakness. You know, in chapter 1, he leaves. This thing's got a ring in it. It's messing with me a little bit. But he leaves Nineveh and flees to Tarshish. And some of you know the story where he gets thrown overboard. And as he continues his journey with Christ, he comes to, let me just go over here because I'm going to need it a little bit just to keep me on track. Hallelujah. Jonah was obviously he was a Hebrew who feared the Lord. It means he had a reverence for God. He understood God's mercy. He knew God in His grace, I believe. And so he leaves the presence of God because of his own fears and his own rejections and his own failures. And I'll explain what I mean as I go on. But the Bible says, let's just turn there if you want to, if you don't mind. Let's just go over there and look at it. Let me get here. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to tie this in. It says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. For Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him into Tarshish. But the Lord, verse 4 says, sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. I'm going to kind of skip through this a little bit and try to get to my points. Verse 6, the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon the God, if so be that God will think of us that we perish not. And the story goes on to say that they cast lots. They made a decision. He expressed to them that he was on a journey for God, and this great tempest probably came their way because he was disobeying God. So they go on and they throw him overboard. And the Bible says that he caused a great whale to come upon and swallow Jonah. You know, and oftentimes, and I thought about, in Matthew 16:4, the Bible says that the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees were tempting Jesus and desired that he show them a sign. And it says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. This is Jesus' response. There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. You know, as I was thinking about that, oftentimes we want a quick, just God do it right now. Just the power of God just deliver me right now in an instant, in a moment. But sometimes we've got to go into that. I hope I'm making sense. I'm trying to. Sometimes we, I need your support. Hallelujah. But sometimes we're like this adulterous generation seeking after a sign. And the Bible says there no sign be given to it but of the prophet Jonas. You know, and I was thinking about Jesus where he sat on the cross for those 3 days and three nights, which is what it's referring to about the prophet, how that he was swallowed up in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. And he wrestled with that old fleshly nature. He was in the epitome of hell on that cross. And he stood there in the sufferings and the shame and served the mind of the Spirit, as the Bible says, the mind of righteousness. Hallelujah. Or the law of the Spirit, where there was no condemnation of the law and death. And he defeated death hanging there on that cross. And so sometimes God's not going to give us a sign or a miracle or a wonder, but sometimes God wants us to get down into that belly, into that hell, into that place on the inside of us, into that struggle, into that darkness, and find out who we are. Come to a real realization of who God is. And that's what Jesus, you know, and resist. You know, the Bible says resist unto death. We have not resisted unto death. It's kind of tough for me in here tonight. Hallelujah. But, you know, Jesus suffered unto death. He despised the shame. Hallelujah. And he rose from the dead. He found that resurrection and that life. And, you know, sometimes we've got to get down as Romans 8 chapter 1 says, and we've got to despise the suffering and despise the shame and believe the report of the Lord that therefore there is no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. In other words, in its pain and in his agony, he could have very well distanced himself or decided to give up on the faith or decided to give up and say, I can't do it. I just possibly can't do it, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane until there were great drops of blood. You know, he was resisting unto death. He was saying, not my will, but thine be done. And so we can, no matter what state or what present state we're in, we can learn to be abased, or we can learn to be abound. We can learn to be content in whatever state we're in by serving God with the mind of the Spirit. And so Jonah is in this situation to where he flees from the presence of the Lord. And now he finds himself in this belly or in this well. And it really, it's a place of realization, I think, or an awareness that Jonah has. And in chapter 2, it says, verse 1 says that Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine afflictions unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All the billows and the waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And so what I'm trying to communicate to you tonight is, don't give up, but look again unto the author and to the finisher of your faith. Look again in the darkest of darkest places. And, you know, some people say, well, you ought to just get over it, or you ought to just, you know, have joy. God don't act like that. You ought not be depressed. You ought not have struggles. Well, guess what? We still have struggles. We still go through things. But I thank God that I don't have to live in that. I don't have to let it control my peace, but I can have hope against hope. You know, as the woman that came before the unjust judge, the Bible says that she came to the unjust judge and she knocked over and over and over and over, wanting her petition of the unjust judge, and the unjust judge got tired of dealing with a woman to where he finally granted her wish, and he said, "How much more if you ask of me that I won't give it to you? How much more?" And so, you know, he says, "But when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in the earth?" And you are that earth. In other words, if you want to see the power of God, you want to see things redeemed and refreshed, as it says in the book of Acts, then you've got to keep yourself in awareness of faith. You've got to keep yourself in a place of the mind of the Spirit. Because with the flesh I serve unto the law of sin and death, where there's condemnation, but unto the law of the Spirit I can serve and I can have peace of mind. And I can live the freedom that's in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, I was listening to a message that he preached, and I feel the Holy Ghost starting to strengthen me some. And I need it. And you know, I'm not ashamed sometimes to start out showing my weakness, because that just shows how great God is and that he can do it when I can't. But I was sitting there thinking about what your message you preached. Yeah, and he encourages me. You guys got a great pastor. He encourages me in my lowest moments. And he's a father. He's a real father. So he was preaching that message on crashing those rocks to pieces. And I was sitting there in my bedroom the other night. And, you know, I really had been at church. And I really had been believing God and believing God and believing God. I kept having this back issue. And, man, I'd stand up there to worship in the church. And I'd feel this pain come over me. And I get so weak, I couldn't hardly stand up. And I was like, God, I really thought about just stepping down, because I just felt like I couldn't make it anymore. But I kept having faith, and I kept having faith, and I kept praying, and kept believing. It's like I would get touched, and I would think I was better, but then that old thing, that old lying vanity would come back up on the inside of me and begin to fight against my body. And if you're spiritual, you know what I'm talking about. This don't just work in the redemption of the soul, but it also works in the redemption of the body. And so, you know, I heard that message on taking the rock, you know, the hammer of God's word, and you continue to beat up and break up that fallow ground. And I was sitting there in my chair and I was studying, and I was like, whose report am I going to believe? Am I going to believe what's going on in my body, or am I going to believe by his stripes I am healed? And when I said, you know what, I choose, this is the talk I'm having, this is the wrestling match I'm having in my flesh and the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that the flesh and the spirit are at enmity with each other, and they make war, right? And so I'm having this argument on the inside of myself, and I'm sitting there, and I said, you know what, I've choose to believe God's word. And I felt the power of God just quicken me just like that. And I don't think I've struggled with it since then. I really don't. And if it comes back up, guess what? I'm going to pull out the hammer and I'm going to hit it again. Hallelujah. So Jonah had this struggle to me in his flesh that caused him to flee from the presence of the Lord and go down into Tarshish. And then we've read the part more of the story where he gets thrown overboard. And in chapter 2, I kind of wanted to go through all four chapters. It's a very short book, but it really went through, to me, the wrestling match of condemnation versus, you know, mercy and grace. But it says, chapter 1, Jonah rose up, flee from the presence of the Lord. Chapter 2, Jonah cried by reason of his affliction. He began to have some realizations. He began to realize that what was wrapped around, the Bible says the seaweeds were wrapped around his head. I wrote down the word mine. They compassed me round about, even to the soul, the depth that closed round about me. In other words, he found himself in a place of hopelessness. He found himself in a place of despair. He found himself in a place to where there didn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. And Jonah said, my soul fainted within me, and I remembered the Lord. Jonah 2 verse 8 says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And so Jonah, to me, is having a realization from chapter 1 until now, and he begins to call upon the name of the Lord, and the fish vomits Jonah up out of the dry land. In chapter 3, Jonah a second time goes and picks it up and goes and preached to Nineveh, and that 40 days Nineveh would be overthrown. So the people believed God and repented. And this is the answer. God saw their works. I'm going to get to the answer in just a second. Saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. And God changed his mind of the evil, or you could say judgment. In other words, God isn't an evil God. He isn't evil like man, to where man would kill and steal. And those are works that happens because of something deeper that's dying on the inside of our soul. Something deeper that's taking place on the inside of us causes us to commit acts of evil that comes from that place of death or those places of death. You know, sometimes when the pressure gets so strong, or unforgiveness or bitterness or strife or malice continues to get so strong on the inside of me, maybe that's came from a place of feeling rejected. Maybe that's how I responded, is that I just got angry at everybody. And then eventually the anger can grow, and it can turn me into just killing my neighbor, or for whatever reason that would cause. But when it says that God repents of the evil, I believe, me personally, that God basically decided to change the sentence. He decided to change them from a place of death to offer them victory and life in Christ Jesus. And so Jonah said, and this is the choice that he makes on the inside of him, the choices that we're all presented with. He said, and he makes the wrong choices. He said, it's better to die than to live. And that just stuck out to me, because how many times do we often follow after what our flesh is actually telling us in the moment? How many times do we make the decision or choice to say it's better to die than to live? That nobody's my friend. That this ain't for me. Or whatever the case may be that we're going through. Or choose the bitterness over love. Or choose to the unforgiveness over forgiveness. How many times do we say it's better to believe what I'm actually feeling than to believe what God says, what His Word says is true? It is, and there's some of our reasoning. We would rather believe the lying vanity of our flesh than to choose to serve God with our mind and live. Are we willing to go with Jesus into the darkness of our soul and make a choice to live instead of die? I had to make that choice. I've had to make the choice recently. I've had to make the choice over and over and over again. That's how we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, is continuing to make the right choice. God told Joshua, He said, I set before you today the choice to choose. That is grace, to be able to choose the difference between life or death. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of our tongue. So what are we confessing? I know there's some, you know, super spiritual preachers out there that are telling you, you know, they can just call fire down from heaven, or that they can just, you know, speak this and speak that, and then it's just going to immediately happen as some super, you know, and I believe in speaking life over people. I'm not saying that. But we've dumbed down what it means to say life and death is in the power of the tongue. I mean, we think we can call magic dust out of the sky because of what we say, and it's really dealing with something much more deeper than that. It's really dealing with what a man believes in his heart. So is he. What are we really believing today? And, you know, I could really come to one of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I will. I want to finish. But are we going to be like Jonah and say it's better to die because of the thing in the flesh that caused him to flee from the presence of God in the first place? And I'm still getting to the answer of why Jonah chose. I kind of gave you my ideas of why. Because he was afraid. Because he had fears. Because he more than likely had been rejected somewhere in his walk, in his ministry. Maybe he didn't know God the way that he knew. He did know God, but what would cause him? In other words, he did know God's mercy and he did know God's grace, and I'll prove it here in a minute. But what would cause him to avoid that within himself? It was that struggle. It was that condemnation. It was that feeling of his infirmity in the flesh, his weakness, his struggle. Whether it's spiritually, physically. And I believe in Jonah, it was much spiritual. Jonah was ultimately afraid of death because, this is what I wrote, because he was afraid of failure, which I believe is a part of death. He had a unredeemed area in his soul, a dark place of death that would cause himself not only to miss mercy, but also if he missed it, then he couldn't possibly have it to offer those people in Nineveh. So let's go over to Jonah chapter 4. It's quiet. Hallelujah. I know I've stuttered some. But Jonah chapter 4 says it, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, now he's very displeased that God didn't destroy him. He's very displeased that God offered them mercy. And this is what blows my mind right here, because, you know, preachers has argued about, you know, the reason that Jonah didn't go and all that, but it says it right here. It says, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You see what I'm saying? Instead of accepting God's mercy for you tonight, would you rather believe the very thing that is causing you to die inside? Would you rather believe the very thing, the lie that the pits of hell has told you? Would you rather choose that than to choose life tonight? I don't, you know, I found myself at a place to where I chose that so long, I was ready to blow my brains out. I mean, I took like 60 pills, and that's, you know, back in 2005, I'm not the same person anymore. I don't have to live there anymore. But I'm just saying, like, because I believed the lie, because I believed to avoid, you know, we grew up hearing the gospel our whole life. And I did have some roots of hope and some roots of, you know, that God had died for my sins. I didn't know him in the power of his resurrection, but I believed, you know, even in the depths of my hell, I knew who he was. But I was still choosing to die rather than to live. And so, you know, I think that Jonah struggled with his own self-reputation. He struggled with that if he said one thing and God did another, then it would make him out to be a liar. But why, and that's just from getting it from the narrative of the story, but why would it? Could we go deeper than that and try to figure out why Jonah would even think that? What would make him, what seems so strong in his own life that would cause him to avoid the mercy and the grace of God for those people? Because he was, you know, we got a lot of preachers running around with, you know, worried about their reputations, worried about respective persons, worried about their egos, worried about different things, instead of letting their weakness be known and depending on their strength to be in God alone. You know, we're so worried about being the next popular, the next person that feels accepted. You know, I had a strong need, and maybe Jonah went through some abuse. We don't know. We really don't know. But I went through my own personal abuse with ministry to where, you know, I tried to stand up and do what God called me to do. But every time, you know, I was rejected, I was told that, you know, you won't do it and you won't ever do it. And God didn't call you to do that. And the list goes on and on. Every time I tried to stand up, you know, so I had, because of the way people had treated me, the way that the flesh or that condemnation is what I call it. Because if someone ain't encouraging you, if they're not supporting you, building you up, feeding you faith, upbraiding you, as Pastor Kevin preaches, then and they're offering you death, get away from it. But I'd letting it warp my mind so strong that I began to manage everything around me out of my fears. And I was forsaking the very mercy of God, the very grace of God that would strengthen me, that make me more than able to do the job. And I'm still learning every day to depend upon that mercy. I'm still learning every day more about God's grace or the ability to choose, because I'm still trying every day to see God or to see Christ as He is. And if it's okay, I want to go back to Romans, because I just want to teach here just for a few more minutes, if it's okay. Hallelujah. But I hope I got that point across well with you guys. It says, "For the law of the life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh." In other words, my flesh always sees within itself that it's nothing holy. It looks nothing, really nothing like God. It's dying, right? I mean, it is appointed unto man once to die, but the Bible says the end of it, it's the judgment. Hallelujah. So I don't look, my hope is that I'll be resurrected, right? How many believes in the resurrection and then the life? And that, so that our bodies will be caught up, will also be redeemed, will also be resurrected from the grave. Why? Because we have this hope in Christ Jesus for what the law could not do. In other words, what I'm trying to communicate is we've got to stop walking after what is going on presently in our body and live presently now in Christ and in the mind of Christ and what He has to say about it. Because we've been made free from this old body of death. We now have a new spirit. The Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That means that when sometimes our mind lines up with what God's Word is saying and we begin to testify of who He is, then His Spirit says, "Yep, I agree with that. Like, I can second that," right? And then that's what God is wanting. And so our flesh is waiting for that manifestation, crying out, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 3 says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk." In other words, the payment was made. In other words, the law was satisfied because of God's grace. Or death, you know, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? You know, how many times do we get down in our spirits because of what's going on right now in our bodies? And I'm going to pray for some people to be healed here in a minute. But how many times do we get down spiritually and feel like God is far away from us? I know when I was going through my, I mean, it hurt so bad all up and down my back that I began to doubt, "God, are You really a healer?" I mean, am I the only one that's ever asked that question? Are You really who You say You are? If You are, then why am I? Why? Because I believed till I was blue in the face. I've submitted and resisted and submitted and resisted and submitted and resisted. Yet I still don't, still struggling. And so, but it's time that we rise up and new and let our roots go a little bit deeper than those stony places that lie on the inside of us. Our roots to go a little bit deeper than, as He preached, the fallow ground. Hallelujah. That stops the seed from growing. Is this okay? Verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." In other words, we sometimes after the flesh, we agree with what's going on in the flesh. "But they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death." And, you know, the Bible says a carnal man cannot receive the things that be of God. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I don't know about you, but I got Jesus on the inside of me. I've got the one, the lover of my soul, as the brother posted on Facebook. He's not paying attention to me. But the lover of my soul, I found the one whom my soul loveth. And she's pretty, but you know what? He's greater. I said he was talking about my wife. I said, you know, when I always tell people that when she came into my life, that it's true that when God gives you something, he addeth no sorrow with it. And she's a great joy to me. And sometimes in our flesh, you know, we have moments, but we continue to get, you know, we continue to learn how to walk in the peace that surpasses all understanding. People, when they come over to my house, you know, they say that, man, there's a great peace in your house. And, you know, I think that can grow stronger. I believe that it can grow strong, that people will get healed, will taste of the Lord just from being around us. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, when we're walking in faith and walking in the light, as he is in the light, he looks over there at us and he says, hey, I know him. I know that person. That's my son right there. I know who he is. Hallelujah. And our hearts are crying, Abba, Father. And if children then are heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ, it means that everything that he is belongs to me. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Let's go on over. I'm going to kind of shadow through this. I ain't going to keep y'all here. It was so good to me that I wanted to go through every single verse, but I can't. I'm not going to do it. But yes, sir. Verse 21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits. Now that's what I was talking about earlier, how that we ourselves, even though we've had the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen. And this is what I want to probably get across more than anything tonight. And he quoted it earlier. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? And so, you know, really, even though sometimes I have weaknesses, or I have struggles, or I have moments of feeling a certain way, then, you know what? It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. So if it's already happened, then what is there for to hope for? So in other words, in whatever situation or whatever struggle I'm in, whether it's hell, high water, or, you know, I'm just having the greatest day in the world, I always have hope in Christ Jesus my Lord. I always have hope. And so we got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. You know, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. If y'all would come back to the music. Hallelujah. And I hope I got my point across to you guys tonight. Hallelujah. But I wanted to reveal, like, it's time for us to get out of the moly grubs and get out of just the complacency that our flesh has dictated to us and start believing again. Start believing again that God is a healer. Start putting ourselves back in the place of faith so that we can receive the good things of God. Right now, you know, the Bible says now is the acceptable time of the Lord. Now is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. And I hope this encouraged someone's faith tonight. This is what the Lord led me to. And I'm not going to talk negative over it. I know this is a little bit different for me. Hallelujah. But I do feel the peace of God. I do. And I believe if you got something in your body that's going on right now, that God can heal it and can touch it. And I see the joy of the Lord just all over you. You really just got touched. I mean, your whole countenance and everything. It's just, wow. It's just amazing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father God, I thank you for my brother, Lord Jesus. Father God, as you've quickened him tonight, Father God, let him take this same faith, God, and lay it upon the hands of the nation, God, and speak healing and speak life of them, Lord Jesus. Father God, just use him mightily, Lord Jesus. And when that lying vanity comes back up, Father God, God, let him take the hammer of your word, Father God, as he teaches others, God. I feel like you're already a teacher. You already teach God's word. But I see an increase in revelation coming to you through the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah, quickening spirit. And things you have not seen, you will see, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Where did that young man go that was... Did he leave? Hallelujah, he left. Hallelujah. Well, I've seen a great spirit of depression, of voices that fights his mind, that makes him feel alone. And I probably should have... Forgive me. But I'll be in prayer for him. And I wanted to pray for you too as well, if it's okay. I've seen a physical infirmity in your body. A weakness is like your sugar attacks you at times, and you can't hardly stand up. You just literally you were standing there with all of the faith it took you just to stand there another minute and praise God. And God's honoring your faith, and I believe God is going to heal you, touch you right now. Hallelujah, Father God, minister to this pancreas, God, this area in the body, Father God, that she deals with, Lord Jesus. This infirmity, God, this weakness, Lord Jesus, God, just quicken her and touch her right now. God, healing, healing, healing. God, you're the healer by his stripes. And because you believed and because you waited patiently, as it says in the book of Romans, and you've waited on your manifestation, receive it right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, the strength, God. Just strengthen her, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Healing is here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I lift my head.
Praise you, Jesus.
I lift my head.
Well, just lift your
to
hands
to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you.
I trust in you, Jesus. If you need something,
I lift my
from the Lord tonight, I would like to pray
to the heaven.
Jesus.
I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you.
God, I pray healing, God, right now.
Healing.
God, let your power, Father God, quicken this mortal body, Lord Jesus.
Healing is here.
God, give strength back to the lower areas, God, that fights her, the pain, God, that's in the lower areas of her body.
And I receive, I receive it.
Thank you, Father God.
Healing is here.
supernatural strength, God, not by power.
Healing
by
is healing. Healing is healing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus. I receive it. Sing it out. It. Healing is here. Do you believe it? Healing is here.
I see the Lord using you in the mission field, and you've got a desire to go to other countries, to go to other places.
I receive it.
The word of the Lord says that
to the heavens.
Says,
I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you.
God's already filled the realm. You already have the words. You speak those words
to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. I lift my head. I lift my head to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you.
Come on, lift your head.
I lift my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from.
Just lift your hands and
look. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you.
I trust in you.
I trust in you.
I trust in you, my healer.
Healed
in your back, healed in your body, healed in the vertebrae of your neck, healed and made whole. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am your Jehovah Rapha. I am thy healer, and I benefit you this day. I load you down with the benefit of grace. My handmaid and prophetess of the Lord. Glory to God.
My healer, I trust in you.
Freedom, freedom. Jesus came along and he said, you evil and adulterous generation, you seek for a sign and no sign shall be given but the sign of Jonah. He said, you Pharisees, your ministry of the law in Moses only creates more and more death. But the sign of Jonas was that he was swallowed. And he said, I come to bring a grace that'll swallow death. No matter how much condemnation you've created, I will swallow it in one swoop. I will swallow down your death and I will give you the grace of life. And the promise of life and the power of life, for the only sign you'll be given is that of the prophet Jonah. And his sign was that he was swallowed by something larger than him. How many believes that God's grace is larger than your sin? See, Paul would say this, that wherever sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I can now tell you from newness of life, and newness of the Spirit and the revelation that I received just listening to him, that God swallowed our death. As he said in 1 Corinthians 15:54, that I've swallowed down death. You might turn around and try to swallow a camel, but Jesus said, I've swallowed what's killed you. I've swallowed the sin that seeks to defile you. Diane, continue to lay hands on Clara. And I'm telling you right now, sister, thou art delivered from your past. Thou shalt speak of the former things no more. You are not thought ill of. There is no condemnation unto you, dear one. God does not remember sins and iniquities against you. Your failures are gone, for I have cast them into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered against thee again. Do not bring them up. Do not speak of them. Do not speak of the past. I ask you to forget what's behind you and live the love and the power of the life that is in front of you, says the Lord of hosts. See, that's why he's a prophet. The spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. That's why he's a man of God. His gift stirs up my gift. The anointing that's on him turns my anointing on. How many understand what I'm saying? Lift your hands, Brother Robert. This is a great year, a great favor in a great year. Be at peace, thou man of God. Good fruits come in your way. You have not labored in vain, because God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love and work that you have shown towards his namesake. Because you've labored in my fields, I shall visit your fields and I shall bless your harvest. I am the Lord that blessed Isaac, that in one planting he brought forth 100-fold. And I, the Lord God, shall give you increase. For all thy sorrow, you shall have double the blessing. For all thy trouble, thee shall have double the comfort. Double, I say unto you, as the prophet Isaiah said. Double. Double in all the word of the Lord. Lift your hands and praise God. And I want you to say, my God is an active God. Diane, come lay your hand on her heart. He's actively God. He's doing things all around you right now within your family and home. Almighty God is with you. He is moving in your family, and he's going to make peace. Those have sought to exert authority and power over you, but love is going to rule the day. Love is going to win the day. Love is the virtue that will come forth in your relationships, and judgment and mercy will come and surround you like flowers that grow up all over you. God is actively your God. Lift your hand and say, he's doing more than I realize. He's doing more right now than I realize. He's actively God. He's actively Almighty. He is a God that's not slumbering and he's not sleeping. No, not Abbasandalabahai. He's watching over me to perform his word. Hallelujah. How many love him today? Because greater is he that is in me. I'm going to be present in the presence of God. Are you ready for the present moment? Are you ready for eternity? Can you be still long enough to connect with eternity without the outer temporal things determining who you were, who you are, or who you will be? Can you get in touch with right now? Now is the accepted time, and now is where my Father is. Now is where you are. I'm connected to the now, which frees me from the past, establishes me in my present, and also gives me a vision for the future. I may be against hope. I may be backed up to the wall against hope, but I'm going to choose to believe in hope, and the God of hope is going to fill my heart with joy and peace in believing, so that I may abound in hope through the power and the working of the Holy Ghost. I feel the energies of God, and I'm getting better. The prophetess of the Lord saw it. AJ was preaching the first time I came back, Brother Mitch, and I was on a walker. They said my color was bad. It looked like I'd been swallowed by a whale. My color wasn't that great. I wasn't the picture of vibrant health. You know, it was years ago, they asked Brother Burroughs to be on the Brawny commercial on a box of paper towels. On that big roll of paper towels in a red checkered shirt, kind of like what Michelle's got on, with the axe in his hand. They asked him to be the Brawny man. He said, no, I'm already God's man. How many can say amen? But my color wasn't good. My color wasn't that great. I looked peaked and pale. But I believe God. Lift your hand and say, I believe God. I believe the angel of the Lord has visited us tonight. You are loved. You are loved with everlasting love. I take that little girl, give her a big old God love. God love her heart. Yeah, it's true. It's okay if we love the people we should love. How many wants to see good? I want to see good for you in 2022. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Everybody point your hand towards her and said, sorrow be gone. Good, good, good. Let it come to you in 2022. And I'm not good at rhymes, but I'm okay at faith. I'm not reactionary by feeling, but I'm pretty good when I act on faith. How many can say amen? I've completely enjoyed tonight. Now the God of hope, fill your heart with all joy and peace in believing. Believing's your part. I believe God that it shall be even as it was said unto me. That's what he said when he was on the Alexandrian, and they thought for sure they were going to die in 21 days of no wind, and everyone was perishing. And he said, the angel of the Lord stood by me this night, whose servant I am, and I believe God. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe God. Clara, there's no story against you. There's no narrative or past that's against you. God does not think ill of you, wrong of you, and don't say it against yourself ever again. Get rid of that death talk and replace it with the language of life. See, the power of death and life. We learned the death language. And now through the Spirit of God, we're learning the life language. When I catch those little rats running through my mind, I kick them out. Those little dirty roaches, they have bad thoughts and bad ideas. I say, not so. You don't get to run around in my kitchen, you dirty animal. Amen. How many love him tonight? How many praise him tonight? Josh, this is a success. Point your hand at Josh and say, you're a success. And you're going to make your way prosperous. You're not going down, you're going up. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon these, risen in your testimony. God may not have called you to be the best preacher speaker on the East Coast. There's not many people that can pray like you and bring miracles and signs and wonders like you. Get okay with it. Demonstrate. Demonstrate. I get good at both and I'm not great at either. God didn't let me be good at either one. I just get to do a little bit of both every now and then.
Well, you know, I didn't start preaching, you know. I mean, I'm just basically starting. And I'll get better at it, you know, as time. But I sincerely do pray over, you know, what God shows me. And I do feel like this was a word from the Lord. And sometimes it flows easier, you know. I embrace, you know, Paul said he counted it a joy when he fell into tribulation. So if I struggled a little bit tonight, I count that a joy, because that just means that there's more praying for me to do. There's more growth for me to have. There's more strength for me to gain. There's more confidence for God to build, so that it's not me that stands before you maybe the next time, but it's more of Christ in me. But I wanted to clear up a point, if that's okay. But when I was talking about the sign of Jonah and the sign of Christ being 3 days and three bellies, when he said there'll be no sign be given to you except for by the prophet Jonah, I believe the sign was Jesus was trying to tell them, until you get ready to go down and take a long self-examination of your own depths of hell, and stop acting so righteous, and stop acting so holy, and stop acting like you've got it all figured out, until you're willing to get down and deal with those issues that stands in the way of me. And that, to me, what Jesus was doing when he conquered that cross. He was dealing with this old man. He that knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. And now I feel like I'm ministering. You know, I struggled all night, but it's okay. I mean, if y'all love me, then you'll hold me up. But I just wanted to, I feel more anointing now for some reason, but maybe, and sometimes it's overcoming my own self. But, you know, that's what I wanted to say, is that we've got to get down into that place that we've been swallowed up by and find and cry out and get, you know, find that. And I didn't finish the story. It gets better. I'm sure he's preached on it. We got to find those victories, those virtues in Christ. So not I live, but Christ lives in me, the hope of glory.
Amen. Everybody say amen. How many has enjoyed being here tonight? Brother Robert, if you'd come up and pray over us and release us. Release us. Oh my God, I just called another preacher up. Help you, Lord. Now, I know you take your shoes off, but you don't get to preach tonight. We're going to have you back in 2022, and you get to preach to us again. But if you can pray over us and release us in God's love.
Might be hard to do. No, I was thinking, though, this way here in 2022, keep this in your head. And the Bible says, Jesus said this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I want you, and there was more to that, but I want you to keep this thought in there. To seek Him first, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He didn't say seek Jesus, did he? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I thought, you know, it takes a lot of thought on that. So I want you to think on this. But seek to be under the total rule and authority of God's Word. For when we do that, then the kingdom of heaven can be manifest. Did you hear what I said? Because you bring it into reality. I wish somebody would hear what I'm saying. Hallelujah. But anyway, God bless you all. I've really enjoyed this tonight. This has been a wonderful. And there is that wrestling that every time I even get up today, still. That's why I don't wear no shoes. And anybody that knows me will tell you the same thing. I don't know how long I've been preaching. Don't try to even count that no more. But my knees still knock. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I realize who I am. And I realize who God is. Jacob had to wrestle with himself too. And I'm going to be good. But there is that wrestling that goes on in all of us, aren't they?
Yes.
So don't let go until you receive the blessing from the Lord. Because whenever we do wrestle, don't you like the scripture, Jacob I created, but there's a forming taking place in us. Israel was the prince of God, but Israel have I formed. Look at somebody and say, he's forming me. He's making me what he wants me to be. Reach your hands to heaven. Lord, we thank you that you're still working on us. When we struggle with our own selves, Lord, the only one real peace that I have is in you. And you minister to us when we don't even know how to even reach to you. You know what we have need of, and you reach to us. You bring your word up in us, and we thank you for it. Lord, help each and every one of us in this upcoming year that we would seek to be under your rule and authority at all times. No matter what goes on in our lives, that we see you above it all. Above it all, because we know that you're a God that brings us through. You're a God that has mercy on us, and your mercies are renewed each and every day. And we thank you, Lord. Cleanse us and make us what you'd have us to be. Lord, we just want your blessings to be multiplied unto each and every one of these in a great way, that they can see that they are becoming more and more like you would have us to be. We are in your likeness in this hour when we look to you and your spirit above it all, above all the flesh and the things of this world. But God, you reign in our lives, and we thank you, Lord. Want your will to be done in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you in 2022. We love you all. We love you dearly. Thank you for coming. And I hope to see you again. Robert, I hope to see you second week of January, second Wednesday. Is that still on? Okay. Well, God bless you. Thank you.